We are studying at the present time the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, which, with the other chapters following, describe the last hours and days in the life of our Lord while he was upon the earth. And in our last study, we began a discussion of the paragraph which began with verse 17 of the 26th chapter, describing the arrangements for the observance of the Passover feast and the institution of the Lord's Supper. We referred to the arrangements as divine arrangements, for even though we read what is recorded concerning the human activity in relation to all that was done, we sensed the undercurrent we have felt all along in our study of divine operation beneath or behind or back of human activity. In our last study together, we thought of the beautiful illustration of divine provision that is given to us here in this chapter, how God provided the place for his Son, the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of all the sacrificial lambs of all the ages past, to observe with his own the Passover feast. As we continue to think of that story today, we're noticing the paragraph which begins with verse 20, I think we will be able to see an illustration of divine compassion. We read Matthew 26, verse 20, Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, that is, the Lord Jesus, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now, this is the record that Matthew gives. And I've suggested to you that there is emphasis on these same truths in the other portions of the Word. I suggest you look with me at the 13th chapter of verse 21 to elaborate upon this illustration of divine compassion. For in John 13:21 we read, When Jesus had this said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You know, some folk do not realize, do not grasp the real significance, the heart-rending circumstances of the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas. Some dismiss the whole matter by saying, well, it was already written that he would do it, so what is there to talk about? But Christ did not feel that way. Christ's heart was filled with compassion, even toward a traitor in his midst. That compassion toward a traitor is particularly brought to our attention by the phrase here in John's account in verse 21. He was troubled in spirit. Notice that. He was troubled in spirit. He had a great burden for Judas. He indicated the turmoil of his spirit when he realized that Judas would be doing what is recorded with the words, he was troubled in his spirit. Now, the word troubled here is the translation of the Greek word oikotairo, which speaks of great agitation. Some folk may say they become agitated. They never become disturbed about anything, really. Well, I would like to remind you today that maybe a person should become agitated. The Lord Jesus Christ did when he realized this horrible thing that was happening in his midst. Instead of just turning his back on a traitor and saying, He wasn't concerned at all about it. After all, he was a traitor, so what could you expect but to have someone do what he was going to do? I say he did not turn his back and not bother with him. The Lord Jesus was burdened for him, even though he knew that he was doing something he intended to do, and nothing could stop him. How great was the burden Jesus carried? Well, let me, by comparison, call to your attention how great it was by looking at Psalm number 18, verse 4. The psalmist was crying out to God out of the depths of despair, and in verse 5 he describes the turmoil of his soul in the words, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me." The word "prevented" there is troubled. You see the phrase, "the sorrows of hell compassed me"? Now that certainly indicates great agitation, doesn't it? And what has all this to do with what we're talking about? Well, in the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, that is the Old Testament translated from Hebrew to Greek, the translators use this very word, oikotairo, to describe this particular phrase, "the sorrows of hell compassed me, the snares of death prevented me." When the Lord Jesus Christ said he was troubled in spirit because of the betrayal of Judas, what was he saying? He was saying that he was undergoing in his own spirit the throes of hell because of a lost man. Need I make any application today? Well, let me just ask you this question. How long has it been since you have cared about the lost? How long has it been since you have suffered the throes of hell because of someone who didn't know Christ? Now, as we look upon this thing and we think of it in a careless way, we're not going to be greatly burdened for the lost. But I tell you this, if you get the full meaning of the feeling that the Lord Jesus Christ had for Judas, if you have a loved one or a friend who is really unsaved, you're going to get under the burden and you're going to pray as you've never prayed before and perhaps even be troubled in spirit to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ was. I think one of the reasons that we do not have the concern that we ought to have is we have not really considered what it means for a lost person to go to hell. Maybe what we need to do is ask God to give us a renewed picture of eternal torment. But we've been talking about divine compassion. The troubled spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ was an illustration of divine compassion. But there is another illustration of that same truth, another illustration of the compassion of Christ in our lesson. If you will look at what John has to say again in the 13th chapter, you will notice that the disciples were asking John if he knew who it was who was going to betray the Lord. They even suggested that John ask the Savior himself, because John was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and John, they felt, might have an inner track that the rest of them didn't have. And so John did that very thing. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ who it was that was going to betray him. And in chapter 13 of John's Gospel, the 26th verse, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. What is the thing we are saying here? Lord Jesus, who's going to betray you? Well, the one to whom I give the sop. Or as Matthew put it, the one who put his hand in the dish with me. How could this be an act of love? At the Passover feast, the Lord Jesus Christ took a bit of unleavened bread and dipped it into a solution made of bitter wine and herbs, and he handed it to Jesus. John asked, "Who's going to betray you?" Jesus could have said, "The one I love the most. Oh, true, you don't see those words here. No, you don't, but he acted out those words. Jesus, who is going to betray you? The one to whom I give the sop. Now, why did they understand this as an act of love, even though we may not be able to see it today? How was it that they were able to see it? Because it was the custom of the day, when the Passover feast was being observed, to follow this very practice, to take that little piece of bread and dip it in that bitter wine and hand it to the one about whom you are most concerned. Don't be so blinded by the fact that Judas was chosen for this particular act that you miss the lesson that Christ wants you to get here. And that lesson is Christ never gives up. You and I may. Why, oftentimes we speak of individuals having done that particular thing, this particular thing, and we say, well, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. We're through. We've done all we're going to do. But Christ never got through. Even though Judas was going to leave that Passover feast and go out and betray him, and Christ knew it, had no doubt about it, he said to him through this act of love, Judas, you don't really have to do it, you know. You don't really have to do what you're going to do. He said, remember, Lord, am I the one? Did you notice the Lord Jesus said, what you're going to do, do it quickly. He knew that if the heart of Jesus was so hard, the heart of Judas, rather, was so hard that it could turn down unresponsively this act of love, there was nothing that could prevent him from doing what he was going to do. Oh, my dear friend, how often God manifests his love to us, and we take it for granted as though we deserve it, as though he manifests his love because we're so good. This isn't always true. Some things that bring men back to God are wrapped up in God's love. May I remind you today that God loves you, and God never gives up.